This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's study. Peter's Epistle to the Elect, Part 1, Admonition and Encouragement. We now begin Peter's Epistle, which were written during Nero's later years of persecution of believers after AD 67 or 68, in 2 Peter, around 69, before the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus. So stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 27th day of July, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warren Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting at verse 23 through chapter 7, verse 11, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 6, starting at verse 1 through verse 71. You can go to warn-usa.com. DanaGlennSmith.com or GetHealthyYoungLiving.com to listen to the latest shows and read the featured post by the Watchman. And this week, the featured posts, articles by the Watchman, are Going Forward in His Grace, Living in the Days of Peril and Going Forward in His Grace. The difference between saint and sinner is that fact of repentance, change of heart, and being born again of the Spirit of God. That conversation, as we call it, sometimes called being born again, when you are born this way through God's Spirit, you meet change, God, discipline, and the fullness of God's grace. Also, Christian nonconformity in the world. This is the beginning and ending of all things in Christ Jesus. Christian nonconformity in the world. The flood was finished. Everything was now swept away in the judgment except Noah, the ark, animals, and Noah's family. So to read more of those and listen to the latest shows, go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and on Twitter at #watchmanis216, #warnradio, and #WGS_watchman. And tonight, Peter's Epistle to the Elect, Part 1. Peter begins his words of admonition and encouragement after the long persecution during Nero and just before the Roman general Titus's destruction of Jerusalem. Peter is older now, and many of his peers are gone to be with the Lord. The war against the church and the empire has blazed a trail of blood, martyrdom, and faith. There can be no doubt here that the aged apostle was beloved, writing to those around the empire of Rome, wanted to give words that would help them in these times. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Of course, here we are. It's Friday, and it's the last Friday in July, and we're not going to be back till next month. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's only a few days.
And today, of course, they had the blood moon, and you could see it better, I think, over in North Africa and places like that. I got the the notification. CBN had sent it out because NASA, of course, was tracking it. And it was, you know, I'm trying to think. It was, it seemed like it was this morning when I had gotten it. I think it was about 11:30 or so. But, you know, the East Coast time is a lot different. You know, we're behind them or ahead of them. No, they're behind us.
We're ahead of, we're behind them.
Yeah, I know it's confusing.
It is.
At any rate, that went on, and it was the longest blood moon, you know. They haven't had this long of a blood moon in a long time. Matter of fact, also which happened, Mars appeared.
Really?
And Mars was really brightest, its brightest that it's, you know, ever going to be. So it was quite an event. I didn't see the video. I haven't had time to do it. I've been so busy today. But I can hear the rain coming down.
Yes, I can too.
But at any rate, we got a storm on Wednesday night that hit a little bit later than this. This one is coming in a little earlier, but we've been hammered with these rainstorms every night. And Wednesday night, it was the thunder was just absolutely unbelievable. It sounded like it was, you know, the throne of God is right over the top of our trailer and, you know, our RV. And lightning, I could see it out of the corner of my eye. It looked like it was just really, really close. But it wound up knocking electricity out. It knocked us totally offline, and it just came back today. Now, I've been waiting for the word from the people who do the internet to tell me that they had gotten it fixed, and I didn't get it. So they apparently didn't fix it because we were set up for a schedule to work on it. We're still not up to speed totally where we usually are. But it was, you know, there's times we can get slow after this, but boy, this time, Tower, this thing flat knocked everything off.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
And see, the thing of it is that where we live also, our phones, and we're on Verizon, you know, our bars are way, way down. And, of course, it knocked out. We have our own Wi-Fi here, and as well as our regular internet. So everything, all of that just practically knocked out. So we didn't have, matter of fact, we didn't have email. We didn't have anything on any computers. Our smartphones wasn't any good. Now, you know, when we went to the post office or do some of the other things, you know, yeah, we could, but at any rate, we didn't know if we were going to get it back today, but when I woke up today and came in here, I hadn't even been able to upload our video portion of our show from Wednesday. I'd tried four different times and couldn't get it done. I mean, the fourth time succeeded, that was today, but I had tried three other times, and so we finally got it uploaded. And it's a good thing it wasn't 3 hours long. We'd still be sitting here.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that, you know, it does take a lot to get this done. And but at any rate, it's hard to believe how much rain we get. You know, Tower, growing up, I can't remember ever getting this much rain.
Oh, me either. Of course, I don't know if I can remember that far back anyway.
Well, I can. I remember the snow, but the rain,
yeah,
no.
I think I remember we had lots of snow during the winter, months and months of snow.
And a lot of cold.
I mean,
it, growing up, it was a different. Now we have, I mean, it's just totally different. So at any rate, other than that, let's see, of course, Erdogan and the official Turkey spokesman, who is a turkey, they weren't impressed with Trump and all of his minions telling Turkey that they'd better release the pastor or face things.
Sanctions.
They said nobody, America's not going to dictate to Turkey. Well, I got news for you. If they don't straighten up, they're not getting the F-35. So between you and me, I don't think
they should get them anyway.
No, they shouldn't get the F-35s because the lion has changed his spots. And Turkey can't be trusted.
That's right.
Neither can Iran. And, of course, the president had words about Iran, too. I mean, that's the thing that makes the Democrats so angry about Trump is that, you know, they still haven't figured out that this guy isn't a politician. A politician won't say those things. Trump don't care.
That's true, yeah.
I was listening to, reading, rather, an interview on CBN from a major Christian leader. I'm trying to think which one he was. He's real, real popular. He's in the news. He's ministry of a family type ministry. But at any rate, they were asking him about Trump and about Christians who are supporting him. And he said they had a choice between Hillary and Trump.
Was it Tony Perkins?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said they chose Trump.
Yeah.
And
smart choice.
And there's a lot of things that he used to do, and he said if he was to start doing a lot of those things again, then they would probably turn against him. But the one thing he noted, he talked about it and said that Trump has fulfilled a lot of promises that he said he would. And the number one thing he did was religious freedom. See, because under Obama, this thing went south.
Right.
And, the bottom line of it is that the general feeling is from Perkins is that they're going to continue supporting President Trump as long as he doesn't do anything really immoral, and he continues to fulfill promises and also continues to uplift religious freedom.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, the thing of it is that, Trump will tell him, he'll tweet it out, So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I look at a little bit of the news, but I don't look at a lot of it anymore. I'm too busy with a lot of the stuff I have to take care of. And frankly, the news isn't even worth reading much of it.
Boy, that's the truth.
Yeah. And I definitely, I just don't go there. I'm not going to get caught up in this baloney that all these people are caught up in. Life's too short.
Oh, it is.
And I've got a lot of things to focus on, and the last thing I'm interested in doing is, it's just like Mad Maxine. I talk about her and some of the others, but, I mention it. She'll answer to the Lord for it. One of these days Trump will be out there and there'll be someone else everybody can hate.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they will.
Well, people are so fickle today. They follow all these stupid groups that they find online. And
this sounds good. I think I'll follow them.
Well, if you think about it, that's what Paul warned about, that they would follow teachers having itching ears. Well, see, the internet is just ripe for that. So they will follow anybody because they have itching ears, and if it sounds good, it'll soothe those itching ears, and they'll follow them. I mean, this is the same thing. So at any rate, we do hope that Pastor Brunson gets out of there.
And, yes, we do.
And, of course, there's Asa Beebe, and who's that young woman you were talking about?
Leah Shirabu or something like that.
Nigeria.
Yeah. Yes.
And she's a young woman that refused to recant her Christian faith.
Good for her.
So Boko Haram decided to keep her. And, of course, their goal is to break her. That's what it is.
Well, I hope they don't. I pray for her not to be anything to take any person or anybody to take her out of God's hands.
Well, you know, these people are not going to go away. The faces will change, but, you know, there's been too much of this. And I was looking at it also, a thing of Aliyah, Jews worldwide returning to Israel, and a lot mm-hmm. of them were coming out of France. And they had various reasons for leaving France. Of course, Muslims, anti-Semitism. But you find a lot of them that want to go to Israel because they consider Israel is what God has given them, and they feel that's what they need to be doing. So there is a calling of Jews to go back into Israel again. So, and there's a lot of Christian, there's a number of Christian ministries that are actually helping them to do that.
Yeah, that's exciting, I think.
Yeah, and Jerry Golden, one of his ministries, he uses a boat. He's getting things ready. He can bring them over in a boat. He's got two boats. One was stationed in Turkey, but they moved it. And I think it's over on Cyprus, I think. Cyprus or Crete, somewhere. So he moved it. But his goal is to bring the Jews to Israel. And, of course, they got to go across the Mediterranean. And I don't know how big of a trip that is.
Boy, I don't either.
But the Mediterranean looks mighty big on my globe.
For sure.
You know, so... you know, but if you think about it, Turkey's along the coast, and if you follow the coast, you're going to go right along the coast, Syria, and on into Israel if you follow that coast. So, well, at any rate, tonight we are starting a new series, Peter. And I've done this series before, but I like to do these over and over again for teaching, and I do repost them. And of course, Google and a lot of the authorities say, well, don't have duplicate posts. These aren't duplicate posts because I never preach anything the same way. Most preachers don't. Because different things are brought out by the Spirit of God. There's different emphasis and things like that. But at any rate, we're going to keep preaching the Word of God. Our goal is not to tickle the ears of Google or Twitter. Or some of these other, Facebook. But there is no doubt that in order for a ministry to reach out, you have got to promote your posts. So this is a plug for those who want to find a ministry to help. Warren Radio. Now, we're not a nonprofit. We don't do nonprofit, but we do have people that help us. And it costs... you could say as much as $50 a post just to get it promoted for 1 week or
that's
for
ridiculous.
The initial time.
So
if you have like 10 posts a day that you're doing, like some of these big sites, you know, that thing can get pretty expensive real quick. But, you know, we are doing that. And, You know, so we do encourage people. You want to get in there and help us to get this word out. And I mean the word of God. We're going around the world. More and more, we're having people that have been using, that have found us as a result of us changing a little bit of what we were doing. We're on Blog Talk for more than 10 years. And basically, we are pinpointing, drawing people into our various shows. And but right now, we are pinpointing, as a result of our coverage of the 2014-2015 ISIS move, we found out that a lot of people were using smartphones and smaller devices. And so we are sending the Word of God out, and we are targeting those smartphones. And more people are finding us, young people too. And I'm talking young people from other countries. And they are from everywhere. And we're starting to see that. And we're going to continue to have this focus. So we want people to know that. We're deliberately sending this word out. So one of the reasons that we have cut down the size of some of these shows is to make it easier to manipulate them and use them on, you know, your Android or your iPhone or some of these others. So we encourage you, you want to get in the action and give us a hand. And I mean, financially, we do have people that, there are people that want to get involved physically in it. That's really kind of hard because it's just a small little ministry. I do almost all of the web work, and I do have another, person that, helps us in another realm of that. It costs money. You know, like if we want to get it on Facebook, just to get people to see that, you got to spend money. Unfortunately, I mean, and then since they have changed their logarithms, they almost made it impossible for you to get anybody to even see the post unless you do advertise. I mean, this is what they've done. And they've all done it. Twitter, Google, Facebook, they've all done it. And they did it on purpose in order to make more money. That's why many of them are so rich. It's about money today, and it's about getting the word out. Well, we've been getting the word out for over 20 years. I do all the web work. We don't have a high, fancy paid web designer. I do it. And I write almost every post we have. Tower helps me in the radio work. She sends out, she does a number of other things, but what I'm saying is we don't have high paid staff. Matter of fact, if you look at it, we don't have any paid staff. I certainly am not paid. But that's just the way it is. You know, this is about getting the gospel out, but you want to get involved in the ministry, check out Warren Radio. Go over our websites, warren-usa.com, and we have a lot of places that you can find to donate there. So get up and you can find it. So at any rate, the goal is to get this word around the world in every country we can, on every smartphone, every laptop, you know, every smaller device that we can do, as well as the computers. And we have the Watchman Alert Radio Network. That's Warren Radio, Watchman Alert Radio Network. And we have this thing on Blueberry. We have it on Spreaker, iHeart, Stitcher. And, there's a lot of them that are carrying it. You know, we're on Tumblr, it's on Facebook, it goes through three of our different Twitter feeds, which we have an extensive following on our Twitter feeds. We have just on the Twitter feeds alone, which isn't like a lot of the others, but we do have well-placed. I don't work it, it's just natural. You know, people come and people go. But at any rate, that's just a little plug for Warren Radio. And we've been doing this for over 20 years, and we're getting the word out to the ends of the earth. and we preach the Word of God. And before you ever consider donating or helping or doing anything like that, you must listen to the shows to know how I preach and what I preach and what I teach, because it doesn't make any sense for you to just try to get involved without knowing that. I won't even go to anybody and preach in any church or do any venue anywhere until they have listened to a number of our shows to know exactly who we are and what we teach. That's just the way it is. So other than that, we are here, and I can't believe it, Tower, we're at the end of July.
Oh, I know. I know. It's crazy.
And it's been a hot July for Tower and I.
Yes.
But see, last weekend, we were just like sweltering.
It was pretty uncomfortable on Saturday.
I mean, it's been hot here, and we melt, you know. And then this week, you know, when we got the hail on Wednesday night, it was 41 after the hail got done. We had half inch hail. I mean, it looked like it was snowing in big chunks, which it was. And I was in my shorts that I wear, and I was out there walking around in the hail. I was trying to get a video of it. I got 11 seconds of it, and then after the internet went out, that 11 seconds, I tried to send it out on my cell phone, my smartphone, and it was off too, and I didn't have enough to send it anywhere. After 10 minutes, this 11-second video didn't ever get uploaded. But once it came in, it was uploaded in like a second or two. That's
crazy.
How bad it was. I mean, I looked at that thing 10 minutes. I mean, it was 10 minutes still circulating, trying to get it. Dear. And I thought it was longer than that, but it was only 11 seconds once I took a look at it. But, well, at any rate, we're glad that you join us whenever you do. Remember to tell your friends about it. Remember to pray about the expansion of this ministry and getting this word around. That's what we do. We work here to get this word out. And I mean the gospel. That's what we do. And we're not here to, you know, even get political. I may talk about Trump, but I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. You know, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And I'm a watchman, and we've been preaching this. I was a watchman before being a watchman was cool. And, you know, so we've been doing this for a while. And we're here to get this word of God around the world and get it in. So if you're listening to this on your smartphone, remember, you can go to our websites. And you can download stuff, and we have, you know, a lot of stuff there that you can just download. And you can read. All the articles you can print off. You know, so there's a way for you to access materials that will contain the Word of God, okay? You can do that. And so we have vast warehouses of audios. I know, because we do have an off-site, actually off-continent warehouse where we have massive storage of our audio files. We're not saving the video because that's just an extra. You need to hear the Word of God. So, at any rate, Tower, are you ready?
Yes. More okay. Than okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, she's ready. And First Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, this is the same Peter that denied the Lord. This is the same Peter that tried to walk on water and sank, but through the power of God, he's changed. He has been weathered by events and persecution, and he's stuck with it, and he is, when you talk about growing old and being wise, Peter is a lot wiser, more knowledgeable, full of the Spirit, knowing the things of God than he has ever been. And he is writing to the strangers. Now you might think, well, the strangers, that's because he's never met them. Well, see, that is true, but we are in the world and we're not of the world, folks. We're not supposed to be familiar with the world. We're strangers to the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world. We're not to love the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so while they're scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and they're strangers, and the thing that unites them is every one of them would have heard of Peter, because it would have fired through the entire Roman Empire. Because when Paul went out to bring the word of God, and of course it all started at Pentecost, when the Jews from around the Roman Empire and around the world, they were, you know, Pentecost is one of those feasts that you have to go to. You know, that's just, it's required. It's one of the three pilgrim feasts. You're to go there. That's where Peter preached, right there. And 3,000 got saved. And so then a lot of them left, and they went back to their homes. And that was a perfect time to get the gospel out of Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the earth. So the Jews went back to their homes, scattered throughout the Roman Empire, taking this word that they had heard. And of course, then it was after that that Paul became an apostle. He became saved, and he took the gospel around. Of course, this was after 12 years in Damascus, and he went throughout the Roman Empire, and God just blessed. And so wherever the apostles went, there was miracles and signs and wonders, and the Gentiles and the Jews, they were getting saved. They came to the Lord. And so Peter is addressing this vast group of people, many of whom he hasn't met. But, see, it's Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, the one who walked on earth with our Lord. The one who saw him transfigured. The one who walked on the water. The one, and yeah, he may have denied him, but that's water under the bridge. He is now a major figure, a voice in the Roman Empire. And this voice wants to comfort, encourage, and speak personally to the elect. And that's who we are through Jesus Christ. The foreknowledge of God the Father had put this together. Jesus Christ, Yahshua, was crucified before the foundation of the world. This is when it was all put together. And the sanctification of the Spirit, when you repent, and of course you have faith believing, just like Abraham, he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So it is with believers. When you believe God, it's imputed unto you for righteousness' sake. But see, there's this something here that you need to understand. You know, coming to the Lord, like we talk about first, about John 3:16. You know, if you just take John 3:16, you're missing what the gospel's about. It's not just about believing. It's about believing, getting in the Word, repenting, and walking in the way of the Lord. That's what it's about. And it's just like if you had a friend and he came unto you and he was a good friend, but you found out that all he's done is lied to you. He wouldn't be a friend. Now see, God knows that when you believe upon him, he knows your heart. Well, I'm going to believe on him, but I'm still going to go do the same things. No, you're supposed to repent. And God will give you of his spirit, which enters in and gives you the power to live for him. And we have immediate sanctification, which comes as a result of God imputing righteousness unto you as a result of your believing on him. The sanctification of the Spirit is the Spirit coming into you, being born again of the Spirit. That's found in John chapter 3. And the Spirit of God will take the things of God and our Lord and give them to you, teach you, and help you to live a sanctified life unto God. And he says, sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You have obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. The sprinkling of the blood, it's by the blood. God had determined that it would be through the blood that atonement was made. And so it was because of the blood of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, being shed that fulfilled the righteousness of the law that allowed us to be able to believe in order for God to forgive us and impute righteousness unto us. And so in these first two verses alone, we have an introduction. And the introduction, you know, if you were just looking at it, sitting around in the Roman Empire, and you suddenly get a letter or have a chance to sit in with other people, a letter from one of the chief apostles that walked this earth with the Lord, you would want to listen. And then the second verse tells you, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, because you've been believing and you're in your little group, but now you're hearing it from one of the chief apostles that is alive at the time. And there's been a period of persecution, and there's even more stuff coming. So the future is uncertain, so you have to be sure of what's going on. And so Peter is establishing in their hope, in their being, you know, that there is an election, there is a sanctification, there is a redemption, there is this beautiful relationship that God has created for us. And verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now see, if we just take Christ and put him on the cross, we've missed the point. He went to the cross as a sacrifice, but he was also in the earth, but he also, while he was in that, in the spirit, of course, he was alive yet, and he had left that body, and he had to go get the keys of death and hell. Not to mention the fact that he was resurrected from the dead, and his body rose again. And of course, he did say that. He told the Jews, and they thought he was talking about the temple. But he says, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And of course, the Jews said, you know, this temple was, what, 50 years in the making, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? They didn't understand, and this is what the Lord said, that the words I speak, they are spirit and life. And of course, in this verse 3, if you were just sitting around again reading that, you would find out that, of course, there is a God and Father, and there is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are reading the original apostolic directives and the teachings, you will always find the God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And while the Lord said, I and my Father are one, there are still two people. They're still two personages, individual, God and our Father, and our God and Father is a spirit, and our Lord Jesus Christ came in, and of course he emptied himself, and he entered into a fleshly body, and revealed the Father, and died on the cross. And of course, this is the lively hope, and you know, and here Peter says, abundant mercy has begotten us again, unto a lively hope. Now see, it's not enough for him just to die on the cross. He had to be resurrected from the dead by the power of God in order to be the first fruit, which he did. In verse 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now see, all this means that if you're living in the Roman Empire at the time, and you know very well what Nero has been doing, you know that people, and even before Nero, there was a lot of persecution that came from a lot of the Jews that were following the Apostle Paul and others around and trying to cause immense trouble for them. And there was a lot of them that ended up getting in trouble, beaten and killed and thrown in jail and everything else. And of course, this is exactly why by the time Constantine came into power, that there was a big push on to get rid of all the Jewishness, all the Hebrewism within the gospel. They wanted a totally separate gospel and a separate Lord, and even though it came out of the Hebrew scriptures, and Yahshua was a Jew, a Hebrew, and the prophets and the prophecies which he fulfilled came from Hebrew prophets, by the time they got done, they had removed most of that, created their own holy days and various other celebrations, because when they were, you know, during the Roman Empire in the early days, there was just so much persecution and hatred brought about by the Jews that despised what was going on. Of course, they lost the Apostle Paul, and many of them had respect for him, and he was destroying the Church of Jesus Christ until the Lord saved him, appeared to him. And of course, then the Jews had problems with the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul could actually meet all of them head on, and none of them could out scripture the Apostle Paul. And every time he could prove exactly that Yahshua came out of the midst of scripture and fulfilled it. So to be told in the fourth verse that now you have an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's perfect, and it's undefiled, it's holy, and it's not going to go anywhere, and it's reserved for you because you believe. This thing is not your salvation, your redemption, your lively hope, your inheritance does not rest on your human emotions. See, now this is how the devil tries to work on you to get you to believe that you're backslidden. And the devil will try to bring up everything you've ever done in your life. Every time you do something wrong, you know, you look cross-eyed, and the devil's there saying, "Well, ha ha, you did that, you're not saved, you know. And God hates you, you know, he's not going to forgive you," and all this other stuff. See, the devil's full of lies. We know what Slewfoot does. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and that's what our Lord said. And he says, all you have to do is resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's what scripture says. Now, if you go seeking him, the devil, or walking in some of his places you shouldn't have your nose stuck into, like if you get a Ouija board and you start playing around, you're going to wind up possessed and in trouble. You do not walk into the strong man's thing when you shouldn't have your nose there. You need to know, as a Christian believer, if you're a Christian, don't have a bunch of pagan books that are detrimental in witchcraft and other things, darkness. You want to be able to fill yourself with the fruits of what you believe. You do not want to fill your soul and especially your kids with nothing but lies. So you need to be careful. You don't want to have a book of the world's religions on your shelf. There's only one. Religions will send you to hell, but only Christ died for you. See, and when we say, you know, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, that's only if you're right in there with the Lord. And if you're not in there with the Lord, your resistance, I mean, it ain't going to work, buddy. You got to be firmly in the camp of the Lord, knowing in whom you have believed. And if you're a new believer and you're happy and excited, you don't have to know all the deep theological things. All you need to do is resist him. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now, of course, as the old story goes, as I told many times, you know, you go there and you rebuke the devil, and you have the demon standing there looking at you. And he said, well, I rebuked you and cast you out. He said, well, I know. I know what you did. He said, well, you shouldn't be here. He says, well, he says, I know who you're talking about. And I believe it. But he says, I don't think you believe it. That's why I'm still standing here, because it's not my faith. I don't have faith, but I still know. It says, the Bible says that the devils tremble. See, and when you follow the scripture and the gospel and you see the Lord coming through, I mean, they're not coming through, you know, saying, oh, hail the Lord, unless they have to. When he comes in, they will say things in order to keep him from tormenting them. They are scared to death of him. The devil is scared to death of him today. I'm telling you today. All those people that think the devil and all of his ways are going to win have got another thing coming. Because today, folks, your Lord is on the throne today, right now. And this is exactly what the early church needed to hear. In spite of what Nero was doing, in spite of the power of the Roman Empire, in spite of all those who were hostile to the Christian faith, Paul was saying, you have been born again. You have a lively hope because Christ died from the dead. And there's an inheritance for you. And it's incorruptible and undefiled. This world can't touch it. It's reserved for you. No matter what they do to you, it is there. And then he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, if you're a believer going through pure hell, these are the five verses you need to know. That one, you are kept by the power of God. It's not your power of God. Your salvation doesn't rest in your humanity. It rests in heaven. It rests on what Christ did. Your hope is to be in him. Your hope and your eyes and your heart and everything you have are to look to him, because in yourself you can do nothing. You must look to him, and you are kept. Now you see, I have a lot of stuff, so to speak. I mean, I live in an RV, I can't have a lot. But I keep it places where I can find it, hopefully. Now see, that's the problem about being a human on earth. We have stuff, and we keep it. But see, like scripture tells us, thieves enter in. You can forget where you put it. And over time, you move and you move again, and somehow things get lost. But see, this inheritance is in heaven, and it's reserved for you. There's a reservation for you because of Christ. Because he is Lord of lords, King of kings, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. He who is dead and is alive, and he's alive forevermore. The Almighty. And then you're kept by the power of God. You have his spirit on the inside of you. You have his word to encourage you. And to get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now these are the five verses you need to read. Now here's another one. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, troubles, and trials. Because at the time there was a lot of manifold temptations. Now today, folks, we have Christians that are going through manifold temptations. Asa Bibi, we've told you about her. She's a mother. She's faced the death penalty. She's still in prison. They haven't killed her yet. It looked like they were going to release her and let her go back to her family, but her husband and children are trying to make it without her. She's in prison. We don't hear anything on her. That other young lady that Tower was talking about earlier, and there's been many, many others. Then, of course, there's Pastor Brunson, who had worked in Turkey for 20 years. You'd have figured he'd been safe. But all of a sudden, he woke up one day, and guess what? They were going to throw his butt in jail, and they were going to keep him there the rest of his life because they said, you took place in this. And he says, I didn't have place. Matter of fact, his own words, he said, I've lived here for a long time, and he said, I would never have done anything to hurt Turkey. But yet, one of the last things I read that he had said, and this is in the last week, that he counted it an honor to be suffering for the name of Christ. Because make no mistake, even the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, writes saying that Turkey actually has come out and said it's the gospel. And then in this latest one, he said that they even listed where it said, if you give out food and water or things to people like that, because that's a Christian virtue, giving to people and helping them, then you are an enemy of Turkey. And this is considered preaching the gospel in Turkey. So, this is how bad these people take it. Now, see, these six verses are very, very important. And Peter opens up both of these epistles. And in both of these epistles, you find this introduces his group of epistles that he's writing. And it tells you the origin. It tells you who your God and Father and your Lord, and that it was his blood, and that, everything theological, everything that you want to know, including the fact that it's not your own strength, it's the power of God, including, the thing of it is that what you believe is reserved in heaven for you. Your salvation, you may feel like you're unsaved, that doesn't have anything to do with it. If you've repented, you seek God, you're walking in his ways, you love him, yeah, you're going through a bad day, but that doesn't mean you're not saved. It is appointed unto us. Appointed unto us, Paul says, not only to believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake. Philippians. See, this is the thing. You get in America and the West, and many times we forgot about the part of the suffering and the fact that there are people in this world, especially today, that absolutely, positively hate Christ and his Father and hate the gospel and hate anybody that has anything to do with them. And I can tell you that this is going to go away. It will, when the Lord comes. But until then, it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And the world will be in rebellion. And you need to know these six verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I've got another verse to add to that. The seventh verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now you see, if you can understand these verses, you can take those seven verses and memorize them and just keep reading them every day the rest of your life. And you'll be fully equipped with all you need to know. The trial of your faith, people, especially in this end of days, we are living in the end of days that will be unlike any other time that we've ever seen. No other generation will go through what we're going through. And when I say we're preaching the gospel, and when I tell you that we are targeting Androids and other smartphones and trying to get this word out through the internet, this damnable internet. Now, you may think it's a wonderful thing, but there are many, many things on this internet that are absolutely, positively the wickedest, most evil stuff you've ever seen. And this internet has done more to corrupt society than ever before. Believe me. But we have carved out, and not just our ministry, but many others, have carved out a way to get this word around the world. And I can tell you, I need your help to get this out and get these things into the hands of other people. Now, we got people that help us, and they know what we're doing. And we're here for one reason. I'm not a watchman for America. Tower is not a watch person. Okay. A watch girl. Watch woman. You won't even find watch girl or watch woman, but I'll tell you, that woman watches, and she has a special gift. She don't like me telling people, but I'm telling you. There's a lot of things you don't see behind the scenes. And it takes a lot of work, but we work as unto the Lord. And we're not here to impress. We're not here to get kudos. We're here to preach the word and tell you the word. We're here to try to prepare you for what's coming. That the trial of your faith. Folks, we all have a trial of our faith. Now, there's different levels. And when you're a new Christian, that trial of your faith can be pretty difficult. If you are in the Muslim regions, and if you come to the Lord, that's punishable by death in some countries. Being an apostate Muslim, you can get killed. And if they find out you're a Christian, you will get killed. And anybody that's in your family can get killed. Sometimes even your own family, which happens many times, turns against you if you're a Christian. And then once they find out who it is that you were led to the Lord by, they will kill them too. But see, from a lot of the testimonies that we've been giving you, Wednesday night is our advocacy program for the persecuted church. And we've been telling you about miracles and signs and wonders that's been going on. And that's the Lord appearing himself. And Muslims getting gloriously saved. Christians, miracles following them. Protection following them. We see in the midst of this sea of humanity on this earth that the trial of your faith, yeah, it's a trial, it's a battle, and it's a war, but that doesn't mean you're going to lose, you're going to win. See, it says in Scripture, especially in Revelation, that they overcame him, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's over Slufit, that's over the dragon. They overcame him. And it says in Revelation 13 of the beast that he made war with them. That's Christians, believers at that time. Those who have the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God. What the Lord told us to. He tells you to keep the commandments in John 15. Nevertheless, it says he overcame them. Means to literally wear out. Now, it doesn't mean he killed them all. But as we see from the seals, there are many that are martyred. And there comes a time when the martyrdom comes to an end. Those who are going to be killed. You can read that in Revelation talking about the seals. But you see, they're all overcomers. It's more precious than gold. And see, gold is used because in the world, gold is one of the most precious commodities we have. We used to have the gold standard where we took our worthless paper money and it had the basis of it, gold, and it was kept in Fort Knox. Only God knows if there's any gold in there now. Hard to tell. But right now, we just print money. We call it fiat currency, but nonetheless. But that faith tried with fire. Now, what the Lord told the Laodicean church, he says, I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in fire. Now see, the only way to purify gold, which is caught up with the other rocks and stuffs in the earth when you find it, is to is to put it through a process. They have used lye and other chemicals in it in order to separate the gold out from the impurities. Now see, when you go through the trial of your faith in this old world, it gets all the impurities out of your life. And it's just like I've said many times, if you're sitting in a cave in the end of days and the Antichrist is on the throne, the beast, the dark one, the son of perdition, and he's killing every Christian he can get his hands on, and so you're in a cave with a bunch of other Christians and you have all different faiths in there, and of course up till now they've all been arguing over doctrine. Now all of a sudden they find out they've got one thing in common. And this is one thing we found with ISIS going through Syria and Iraq in 2014, 2015. This is what we find today around the world. Those Muslims and Hindus and others, including communists, which are in China, and those who are in North Korea that hate the Christians, they don't really care what denomination that you are. See, in America, that's important. Oh, I'm a this, I'm a that. Really? Well, see, God's going to take that out of you. Because being a Baptist or any other thing, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, Assembly of God, Lutheran, that ain't going to get you through the door. You see, you can have all kinds of baptisms and all kinds of rites in the Lutheran, the Methodist churches, and all the others. But if you ain't born again of the Spirit, if you haven't believed upon Him and received Him and been truly born again, you ain't going to get in no matter what that dude up at the head of your Lutheran church or whatever it is tells you. And when the enemy comes through, they don't care what church you're in. They'll burn one church as quick as the other. They will tear down one cross as quick as another. The cross doesn't save. The cross was what they put your Lord on. Cursed is everybody that hangs on a cross. Or as we say, on a tree. It was His blood. He was a perfect sacrifice and it was His blood. Now you see, they went through the Middle East and they killed little girls, little boys, mothers, and some they raped until they couldn't pee. I know, that's tough. You don't like hearing that, but that's the way it is, because we reported on it. And they had pictures. It was a damnable time to be reporting. It was a horrendous time. It was sickening. And the Western media, the more that they publish this stuff and let people know what ISIS was doing, ISIS fame swept the world. We should have never published a thing. Because when you publish it, you may be horrified, but they are happy. See, they don't care. It's about your faith, folks. And so you're sitting in a cave with a lot of others, and suddenly you find an old brother getting really sick and nothing can go on, and he's about ready to die. And of course, he doesn't believe in divine healing. He can't find a doctor anywhere, and he looks up and he sees you. And you walk over to him and say, well, you know, God can heal you. The Lord will touch you. Well, I can tell you at that moment, he's going to be mighty thankful that he found somebody in that cave that believed in divine healing when his own church told him that it wasn't right. Now, that story, I can tell you, truthfully, when I was a youth pastor, we had a woman who came to our church for healing, for cancer, because her own church didn't believe in divine healing. We all prayed for her, and she came back 2 weeks later and told us the cancer was gone. She was in the church from then on. We all prayed for her. There was no bolts of lightning. But she lived and didn't die. At any rate, the trial of your faith. Now, you see, when you begin to have the trial of your faith and you look around, and it's come out over the years of ministry, when I've read the testimony of those who had been put in jail for their faith for many, many years. Matter of fact, some of them who had suffered so much in the Chinese punishments. I remember one in particular. He had trouble in America because once he got out and he got here, you know, when he was in that prison, the Lord was close. Very, very close. It was amazing. But he gets here, and the Lord seems distant. There's evil everywhere. And you can virtually do anything you want to here. Nobody really cares because there's no sin. You're never the same. But see, we in America and many of the other countries, we're so used to the way we do things, both in Christianity and in America, that the lines are blurred. The church is in the world, but the world is in the church and in the hearts of believers. And there's going to be a trial of your faith. Peter also warns that judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then if we, who barely survive, and we believe, we're saved, we barely survive, he asks, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? So these are things that in this first chapter Peter is laying out, and he's getting right, because these are believers that are going through trials. And he says that trial is more precious than gold, and gold is going to perish anyway. You can't take this gold here on earth into heaven. Why? Because it's impure. You can't even get it pure. Gold that we can get today, even our best when we refine it and smelt it, can only be 99.9% pure. But when you get gold that is pure, 100% gold, it's clear as glass. At least that's what I believe. And there is reasons for that. And of course, the streets will be paved, you know, and I know many ministers have picked up on that, you know. Gold is so cheap in heaven, they pave the streets with it. But see, there's a lot of things, not just that, that is different. You cannot compare heaven to the world. The world is fallen. And you cannot know God through this world's wisdom, for he's spiritually discerned. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now you see, your love in the Lord, it's kind of strange how that works. You've never met him, never really seen him. Now, some people have had visions and seen him. Paul saw him, Peter seen him. But we're of those that do not, have not seen him, and yet we believe. But yet, with this faith, and with the Holy Ghost, and with this redemption, there is joy unspeakable. And there is a glory in there that is hard to describe. I call it liquid love, because God can touch your heart and touch you to where you just feel a love like you've never felt before. And especially when you see other believers, other people get saved, things that relate to the kingdom of God, there is a joy and there's a glory and there's a love that flows through you from the Holy Ghost. And see, when you're persecuted, and even when you're not, you know, God works in your heart. You know, Scripture says, His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. See, that's what we want. We want to put off this body of death. We want to get through this trial. We want to get through this race, as Paul calls it. And you and I happen to be living in the end time that is going to be the worst that it's ever been of any time on earth, will be the time we're living in right now. This is the end of the end of days. I fully expect to see the Lord coming before I die. I really expect to enter into the millennium. Now, if I reach to that time when God calls me home, so be it. And if He hasn't come yet, so be it. But I live with a hope. My message is about hope. It's a warning to those who will not listen. But see, if there was ever any, now we're up to 9 verses, any 9 verses that are theologically some of the finest writings we have in a short period of time, Peter covers it all. He's writing from the heart. He's writing to people who are persecuted. He's writing to people scattered throughout the Roman Empire. He's writing to people who have seen Nero, who was crazy mad. And they probably thought the end of the world was happening. They probably thought they would never, ever live. But in spite of how bad things are, God can always make a way. And see, that's why you have to fundamentally decide. Are you going to give in to fear? Or are you going to walk in faith? Now see, your flesh will want to walk in fear and doubt and many other things. But see, there comes a time when you just need to tell yourself, I'm going to choose today to walk in faith. I don't care, whatever happens. I'm going to believe that whatever happens, God will make a way for me and my family. Period. No matter what it is. No matter how bad, no matter how good, whatever it is. You have to reach that point when you say, I believe, Lord. That's it. As we used to say, when you get at the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on. Well, you see, if you were on a rope and at the end of it, it'd be really hard for you to suddenly try to tie a knot. The moral of the story is, tie a knot in the rope before you get to the end of the rope. Then you can hang on. And your knot is deciding that I will live by faith every day, no matter what. I will make a conscious decision to believe today that God will make a way. Your salvation does not rest in your feelings. Your heavenly experience has nothing to do with this world. You believe, you've received him, you're walking in faith and obedience, your reward will be there. But the devil is going to try to make you give in to your doubts and allow your doubts and your fears to rule you. It's time to come out of that. And it's time to say, I'm done. I'm finished. I will not do that anymore. I rebuke it, and I rebuke the spirit behind it in Jesus' name, and I bind that spirit in Jesus' name, and I cast that spirit into outer darkness in Jesus' name. And I will walk in faith according to the will of God, and I will believe that God will make a way for me and my family today. Now see, this is basically what Peter is telling those people. This is your not. What Christ has done, the hope you have, the assurance, the promises of God is your not. Your faith is the thing that activates that not and allows you to hang on. I love these scriptures here. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So verse 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And it's come unto us. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Jews weren't looking for the suffering servant. They were looking for a political Messiah to raise Israel to the top of the nations. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. See, all the prophets didn't prophesy to the Jews in Israel. They prophesied to all of us. And that there would be another covenant. There would be another hope. And even Peter says, even the angels desire to look into this. Now, Peter tells them then, wherefore, or because of these things, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this is your knot in the rope. This is your faith that you're believing every day. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Understand where you're at and who you are. And hope to the end. That hope, that's your faith. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, that's the knot in the rope. But that knot requires you not only have a relationship, but be holy. Walk as Christ would have you to walk. Let there be a difference between who you are and who the unbeliever is. You know, there's no doubt that these are some mighty fine introductory scriptures. I mean to tell you, it just, you know, it's, I could say, you know, I could tell preacher, I could tell Peter, you know, good preaching. You know, I mean, this is good stuff. You know, in homiletics class, they tell you to do an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. Oh boy, we got more than 3 points here, but they're just really, really, really good. And so, folks, as we wrap this up, we're not going to be in Peter forever, but I hope you get into this series and allow the Word of God to give you that hope and tie your knot. You don't even have to be at the end of the rope. Just tie your knot and make a decision every day. As he said, hope to the end. When Christ comes, it'll all be fulfilled. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Let this word enter into the hearts of your people and bless them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad you're doing Peter, because I really like Peter's epistles.
I know. You could take those. All those are just some of the finest theological points for being a believer there is.
Yes, and when you have things going on in your life that distress you, grab onto this word from the Lord and hang on.
Yeah. Just read them over and over and over. If you're going through a bad time, read them.
Because God will never leave us nor forsake us.
Now Paul does some of the same stuff, and and this is a work of the Holy Ghost, folks. Because when you see these, Peter and Paul were totally different when it comes to their backgrounds. Peter was a fisherman. Paul was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. But you see, the thing of it is, you'll find some of the same things if you get in Ephesians and Colossians. Where in the beginning, he'll go through a lot of stuff. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing revelation how they put that together. And of course, you know, I mean, it's just like the world. If you're not going to believe, we can't help you. You know, I preached a lot. I have a lot of audios and I mean, over 20 years worth, plus. And none of that word is going to do you any good if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. If
That's
you're not
right.
going to believe that God is, you know. Because Scripture tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, Tower, I... You, nobody can help people if they're not going to believe in the Word of God. You can fast, you can pray for them, and that's what we find overseas with a lot of the Muslims that, and even Hindus that don't believe, is that there's nothing man can do. This gets in the realm of God. So God comes in and moves, and this is what we're seeing. And so you can't discount the move of God in these trials. Matter of fact, that's your hope too.
Amen. Yes, it is.
I mean, you know, for by his stripes we have been healed. I mean, you know, if God doesn't heal anymore, if Christ's work on the cross doesn't mean that healing is any good, then we're screwed. You know?
Because that means salvation isn't any good.
Yeah, because the atonement and healing are tied. Healing is in the atonement.
A lot of times in America, though, we think we should have instant healing. And it doesn't happen that way. I can tell you that. I know.
And it is appointed unto Christians, not only to believe, but to suffer for his name's sake. So, that's the way it is.
Yep.
Whether you like it or whether you don't like it. Okay, we're going to have to get
out
of here.
I just want everybody to know we missed you last night. I'm sorry that we had issues with our internet and couldn't be here. We love you. Thank you for listening tonight and joining us. God bless you and keep you. We're praying for you, and we love you, and hope the best for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.